the silence can be deafening. You might know that feeling personally, or maybe know someone who does, that real absence when an adult child just stops communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we're really diving into this complex reality estrangement between adult children and their parents.
Yeah. And our guide for this is a really insightful article, Why My Adult Children Won't Talk to Me and What I Can Do.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Dr. Charles R. Davenport, came out just this past July.
And our goal today really is to go beyond just skimming the surface. We want to pull out the crucial understanding from Dr. Davenport's work.
Exactly. For you listening, we're hoping to shed some light on the often hidden reasons behind this kind of communication breakdown and, you know, explore some potential paths forward.
But it's important to stress, right? This isn't about quick fixes.
Not at all. Mm. It's really a journey of understanding, of digging into the layers.
Right. So if you're someone who likes to get right to the heart of things, but, you know, thoroughly, we're aiming to unpack all these complex dynamics without making it feel overwhelming. Okay, so where do we start? How does the silence even begin?
Well, one of the key things, I think, from Dr. Davenport's analysis is that estrangement, it rarely just happens overnight.
Right. It's not sudden.
No. It's more often this slow buildup, a gradual wearing away, really, of the connection. It's built on unresolved issues that just stack up over time, years, even decades sometimes.
Like a slow leak, maybe?
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. A tiny leak that, you know, if you don't address it, eventually weakens the whole thing. That's often what seems to happen with the communication. And eventually you get this huge wall of silence.
That slow erosion idea.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And the article also brings up something maybe a bit surprising, how sibling dynamics can still be such a powerful force even when everyone's an adult.
Oh, absolutely. That's a crucial insight, how deeply those childhood patterns, you know, stick around.
Things like perceived favoritism from childhood. Even if it seems small back then, it can just fester. And then it resurfaces in adulthood, maybe triggered by anxieties about inheritance or who's responsible for caregiving.
And that becomes the flashpoint.
Exactly. If an adult child feels like, hey, I was always treated unfairly compared to my brother or sister, that sense of injustice carried for years can absolutely fuel deep resentment and, well, lead to pulling away.
So it's not always one big blow up. Sometimes it's these long simmering feelings. But what about when there is something more specific? A big argument, maybe? Or a clear disagreement?
Yeah, and that brings up another important point about, like, the immediate triggers for an adult child's anger. Dr. Davenport talks about several possibilities here.
Okay.
It could be unresolved stuff from childhood that just never got properly dealt with, or, you know, more recent arguments that just went too far, couldn't be repaired, or maybe just a fundamental feeling of being treated unjustly.
Mm.
And sometimes the root cause is really specific parental behavior. Things like neglect or abuse or some kind of betrayal, those create really deep wounds.
Yeah, those are obviously major breaches of trust. Serious stuff.
Definitely. But the article also points to something maybe a bit more subtle, but just as important.
What's that?
It's when a parent struggles, really struggles, to accept their adult child's autonomy.
Their independence.
Right. The right to make their own choices, live their own life, even if those choices aren't what the parent would want or expect.
Mm-hmm.
When a parent can't quite see their child as a separate, independent person with their own beliefs, their own path, that can create a lot of friction. That feeling of being controlled or not respected as an adult, that can definitely push someone away.
Wow. So this cutting of ties, this silence, the emotional impact must be huge for everyone. The article goes into what parents often feel.
Yeah, and what really comes through is the sheer weight of those emotions for parents. You know, grief is a big one. Grief for the relationship they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
Guilt, too, over things they think they did wrong. And just confusion, like, how did we even get here?
Yeah.
Dr. Davenport even compares it to mourning a death. It's like losing a fundamental part of their identity, that role in their child's life. And it's often what psychologists call disenfranchised grief.
Disenfranchised?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, it's a loss that society doesn't always fully acknowledge or support.
Yeah.
You know, people don't always know what to say, or they might even subtly blame the parent. It can make the grief feel very isolating.
That sounds incredibly lonely, but the article also warns against getting stuck in guilt, right?
Exactly. I mean, honest self-reflection, looking at your own part, that's crucial. But getting totally consumed by guilt, that can just paralyze you. It doesn't help anyone.
Right.
It's so important to remember, as Dr. Davenport points out, estrangement is usually complicated. It's this web of factors, rarely just one person's fault entirely.
Okay. And slipping the coin, what about the adult child? the one who initiated the silence, what might be going on for them emotionally?
Well, their internal world is just as complex, really. They could be dealing with intense anger or deep hurt, maybe profound disappointment.
Or maybe something else.
Yeah, or even sometimes a sense of relief. Relief at having that distance. The article really stresses empathy here.
Trying to understand their side.
Exactly. Even if you completely disagree with their feelings or their decision to cut contact, genuinely trying to see it from their perspective, that's such a vital step. Even if reconciliation isn't immediately on the table, just understanding.
So it's not just contained within the immediate family then. The article also looks outwards at society and culture.
Right. And this is where it gets really interesting, I think. Dr. Davenport talks about how, you know, in many Western cultures, there's this strong emphasis on individualism, on self-reliance.
Mm-hmm. Being your own person.
And that, maybe unintentionally, can sometimes weaken family ties. Mm. Adult children might feel more, well, permitted or even encouraged to prioritize their own well-being. And if a family relationship feels harmful to that, they might feel more justified in distancing themselves.
We hear so much about setting boundaries for mental health these days.
Precisely. And then you add in things like how much more people move around now, geographical mobility.
Right. Families spread out for jobs, for education.
Yeah. And when you've got that physical distance, it can definitely make emotional distance more likely. Or at least make maintaining those close family ties a bit harder. It takes more effort.
And cultural expectations about family? Mm. They vary a lot too, don't they?
Hugely. Dr. Davenport contrasts cultures where, you know, cutting off family is almost unthinkable, with others where there's more expectation that adult children will forge their own independent path.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you've got generational differences, big ones sometimes. Different values, different ways of communicating, different ideas about what family even means or requires.
Right.
Think about expectations around how often you should be in touch or, you know, the role of elders in making decisions. Those gaps can lead to major misunderstandings.
Okay, so understanding all these pieces, the slow buildup, the sibling stuff, the specific anger, the emotional cots, these wider societal things, it paints a much clearer picture of how complex this is. So, what does the article suggest about, well, moving forward, potential reconciliation?
Yeah, and the absolute starting point, according to Dr. Davenport, is self-reflection for the parent.
Be honest with yourself.
Really honest about your own potential role and how things broke down, acknowledging past behaviors, communication patterns, whatever might have contributed. That signals a real commitment to trying to repair things. It's crucial.
And then communication. Always key.
The cornerstone, really. The article highlights active listening, like really listening, giving your adult child your full attention, resisting that urge to jump in and defend yourself, and responding thoughtfully.
Not just waiting for your turn to talk.
Exactly. And pairing that with genuine empathy, showing you actually value and understand their perspective, even if you don't agree with it. That's how you start rebuilding trust, making them feel genuinely heard.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And another really vital strategy is boundaries. Setting healthy boundaries.
Which are important in any adult relationship, right?
Absolutely. And respecting the boundaries your adult child sets. That shows you value their autonomy as an adult. It helps prevent repeating the kinds of misunderstandings or resentments that might have caused the split in the first place.
And apologies, how important are they?
Hugely important, but they need to be sincere. Dr. Davenport emphasizes that it's got to go beyond just saying, I'm sorry.
Right, not just the words.
No. A really effective apology names the specific actions, or maybe inactions, and crucially acknowledges the impact those had on your child. And then saying how you plan to change your behavior going forward, that gives it real weight. It's about taking responsibility, expressing genuine regret for the hurt caused, not just trying to wipe the slate clean instantly.
Okay. But sometimes, even with the best intentions, it just feels stuck. That's maybe when outside help is needed.
Yeah, definitely. And what's really useful here, the article points out, is that therapy or counseling can offer this neutral safe space.
Objective perspective.
Exactly. To explore all those deep-seated emotions, get clearer on the root causes, and maybe develop some new, more constructive ways to communicate. Break those old, unhelpful patterns.
And is that just for the parent or...
Oh, it can be helpful in many ways. Therapy can give individuals tools to process their own stuff, the guilt, rejection, grief. And a therapist can help guide them towards either reconciliation, if it seems possible, or towards acceptance, if it doesn't.
Finding the right therapist sounds key, though.
Absolutely. Someone who specializes in family estrangement or parent-adult-child relationships specifically. You need to feel comfortable with their approach, their experience.
And the article is realistic, isn't it? It acknowledges that sometimes reconciliation just doesn't happen.
Yes, and that's a really difficult but important reality to face. Dr. Davenport talks about acceptance as being vital if the estrangement seems permanent.
Acceptance. What does that really mean in this context?
It means acknowledging the situation for what it is,
Yeah.
letting go of the need to control the outcome, and shifting your focus to your own responses, your own well-being. It's incredibly painful, no doubt about it, but acceptance can eventually bring a measure of peace.
Finding a way to live a meaningful life anyway.
Exactly. And that's where support becomes absolutely critical. Finding support groups, maybe online communities where people share similar experiences, or just leaning on friends who really understand and don't judge. That validation is huge. And focusing on self-care, building resilience, maybe getting professional help for yourself just to cope, developing healthy ways to manage the pain.
Okay. But let's say reconciliation does happen. The article suggests the relationship won't just snap back to how it was before,
It's
right?
a really sharp point.
Yeah.
No, it almost certainly won't. Dr. Davenport explains it'll likely need to evolve into something new, an adult-to-adult dynamic.
Based on mutual respect.
Mutual respect, clear boundaries, a much deeper understanding of each other's needs and perspectives. It means adapting, really respecting your adult child's autonomy, their choices, letting go of those old parent-child ways of interacting.
Relating as equals, essentially.
Precisely. And that means consistently setting and respecting boundaries both ways, communicating without getting defensive, being open to change, to growth within the relationship itself.
Sounds like it requires patience.
A lot of patience. The article stresses that. Celebrating the small steps forward, maintaining consistency in your efforts, and also realizing that setbacks, they're probably going to happen. It's part of the process.
Okay, so pulling this all together, this deep dive into Dr. Davenport's work really shows estrangement isn't simple. It's got these deep roots that slow erosion, sibling rivalries carrying on, individual anger and hurt, the huge emotional toll, even these bigger societal pressures.
It's multifaceted.
And while reconciliation might be the hope, the path there involves real self-reflection, empathy, understanding different viewpoints,
Yeah.
and sometimes that really hard step of acceptance.
Yeah. And what's really powerful, I think, something Dr. Davenport highlights, is that regardless of whether full reconciliation happens or not, just committing to understanding more, communicating with more empathy, that alone could lead to huge personal growth for everyone involved.
That's a really valuable point. So, maybe for everyone listening, as you think about all this, what's maybe one small shift, a shift in perspective, perhaps, or even an action that might encourage more understanding in your own family relationships, whatever your situation is right now? Maybe just reflecting on how we all adapt or could adapt better to that natural shift from parent-child dynamics to adult connections.
That's a great thought to leave with. Really encourages us all to think about how we can build healthier, more respectful relationships within our families.
Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive. It's been a challenging topic, but a really important one.